This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning, Taranaki. Good morning, everyone. We are here at the studio on Access Radio 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. This is Making Yourself at Home. And today we have a very special episode. So we have a special guest that we will introduce shortly. His name is Lucas, but we also have very special co-hosts. So we have myself, Clara from Spain, Alina from Romania, who you already know us, but then we have...
Good morning, everyone.
Two little co-hosts, Pedro.
Petru.
From New Zealand. And Victoria from New Zealand.
Hello.
Hello. Do you want to say hello? Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining in. We are so happy to have you again. Good morning, Petru and Victoria. And looking forward to this episode with Lucas. So I know Lucas for a little bit, for quite a while. He was the winner of the race relation competition here in New Plymouth, and he just turned back from Auckland, so we are looking forward to hear his story. Good morning, Lucas. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Of course. Thank you, Alina. Kia ora, everyone. My name is Lucas Stromeyer. I am a year 13 from Francis Douglas. I was born in New Zealand, and I've been living in Taranaki since I was born, so I'm 17 years old. Yes, correct. I recently participated in the Race Unity Speech Awards, I started in my regional heat that was about a month ago now, and Alina was one of my judges there. And last weekend I made my way up to Auckland for the semifinals and national finals, so it was a great experience. I had a great time, met new people, and it was wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. We saw your interview on Facebook, and we also looked at the winner. So yeah, great speeches. I imagine that was first time for you participating to this competition?
No, actually. So this year was my third year. The Race Unity Speech Awards, they are speeches for students in years 11 to 13. So it's between the ages of 16 until 18 years old for high school students. And what it's about is sharing their ideas on race relations in New Zealand under a certain topic. So this year was actually my third year, my final year of school.
Wow.
So I did Race Unity first time in 2024, and I came second in my regional heat. So I didn't make it up to Auckland, but I had a great time, great first experience. Last year, I was the winner of my regional heat, so I went up to Auckland. And I won the Taranaki Regional Champion in my semi-final against the South Taranaki participant. And fortunately this year, I made it even further. So I won my regional heat. Mm-hmm. I made it to the semi-final and won the semi-final. And they take two from each semi-final to the national final. So six people nationally out of about 150 speakers across the country. And that was on Sunday last week. We presented our speeches at Ngā Kete Marae in Otara in Auckland.
Yeah. In Auckland, wow. Mm. What a great jump, no? 2024.
2026, yeah.
Yes, amazing. Can you participate also next year?
Unfortunately, not next year because I won't be a high school student, but I do hope to still help out with the hui and all organization next year, so I hope to, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm. And what was your motivation to do the speeches?
I guess I'm someone who's very passionate for public speaking since primary school, and we did speeches in class. I'm also very passionate for race relations. I'm someone who's experienced racism growing up. Mm. And so I guess that inspired me to share my voice, to come up with ideas and to speak for change. So I started first in 2024, and I guess from there I've always wanted to come back because it was such a great experience. Always wanted to learn more, to share more, and to understand. So yeah, it was a great it's a great experience that I really love doing. Yeah.
Yes, amazing. And I mean, I know a little bit about your background, but do you want to share with us? I know your parents are coming from two different countries.
Yes,
of course. Do you want to share that with
us? Yeah, sure. So, yeah. Although I was born and grew up in New Zealand, my mom, she is from South Africa, and my father is from Austria. So they are from two very distant parts in the world. It's got a very unique background from the both of them. They migrated here in the early 2000s when they met. So I'm very grateful to come from two different backgrounds. I've visited both South Africa and Austria a couple times, and I've still got family there, so we do try to visit them as much as we can. And yeah, it's so grateful to have such a cool biracial mix. Yeah.
So when you when your parents came to New Zealand, obviously they gave birth to you and your two other brothers.
My two other siblings. So my older brother and younger sister.
Younger sister. And how was for you growing up here, even though you were coming from two different backgrounds? I imagine at primary school you experienced different opinions and
So
how was that for you?
I grew up in Okado for primary school. My first 4 years were down there. And it's a very rural, small community there. And so we were one of the only immigrant families there. So almost everyone was either Pākehā or Māori, I guess. And so growing up looking different and having a different name, last name that might be hard to pronounce, it was a challenge, but also a gift, I think. So growing up, people always asked me, oh, where are you from? Or I did experience racism in my primary school years because obviously I look different, but I guess it's something that I just got along with. I did talk to people about it, and I think it's a gift, to be honest, because it helps me find myself growing up. Yeah, that was very important.
It's quite interesting because also like my kids are growing up here, and I think they see this around them, you know, racism and people talking different with people who are looking different, right? How did you overcome that?
Well, I guess it changes growing up. So when I was around year four, I was going through really bad bullying in school. And what I did was I did talk to my counselor at school and I talked to my parents about it. And it changes over time. So in 2018, when I was year five, I moved to St. Joseph's in New Plymouth. And that was a very different experience going from just a biracial school almost to a was complete multiracial. So I met so many different ethnic groups of students of Filipino descent, of European, African. So then when I went to St. Joseph's, it was a much more diverse environment. And so I did connect with other students. We all shared the similar experiences. And I guess that did help me settle in a bit more. Going into high school, again, when people mature and grow up, people do have prejudiced opinions. And so I did talk to, I always tried my best to talk to a teacher about it, but sometimes it can be a struggle because then it almost ostracizes you even more. But yeah, I guess you just have to look at it as a gift. You have to get through it regardless, because racism is not a single experience, it's a shared experience. And so I got through it, and the best thing is to talk to people, to share your experiences with others, and to overcome it with strength.
And I think it's like, obviously it was helping you to be the person who you are today, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So if you wouldn't have had this experience, you wouldn't have gone through the race relations
I think
speech
so.
Competition,
yeah, I don't think
right?
I would
if
you
wouldn't
race
have
unity.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
That's
so
amazing.
It does bring you opportunities, even though it can be damaging at times. But I think it's something.
It's great listening to your experience and how you are sharing your story, and I guess that will help people perhaps realize things that they might not be aware of. So yeah, I think what you are doing is beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
So how do you see yourself sharing that now that I think you mentioned you cannot be part of the competition anymore?
Correct. Yeah.
Or perhaps you still haven't thought about it, or have you?
I have actually. So after the speech awards, it doesn't just stop there. There's always more opportunities. So I've talked to a couple organizations about sharing my speech. So I went to a group the other day and shared my speech there. There is a community initiative in New Plymouth called Beyond Small Talk. Mm. So in about a month, I will be sharing my speech for them as well. That's a community organization where they bring together people and talk about difficult topics, but also, I guess it's in the name, go beyond small talk. So
yeah.
That's something where I'll be sharing my speech. For the finalists, I was invited last week also to go to Parliament on the 30th of June.
That's amazing.
It's an
incredible
opportunity. Yeah. So I will be sharing some ideas and practices that we can use to build race relations in New Zealand. So at the Race Unity Speech Awards, they had a hui with the mm-hmm. participants. So the 21 semi-finalists, they came together. And what we did was we went through workshops and we also shared our ideas on practices that could improve race relations regarding school mm-hmm. curriculum, community initiatives, youth-led projects, government policies. And so I did include some of that in my speech. One thing I will want to propose in when I go down to Parliament will be introducing media studies at a younger age. Because one thing I discussed in my speech and found was that between the ages of 6 and 10 in the children's age, they start to recognize stereotypes in so media, advertising, mm-hmm. and language. But only in high school are media studies actually taught. So that's a class where students analyze media and they look for racial stereotypes or any kind of stereotypes and look for some of the prejudices inside our media, because it's very evident. And especially with social media growing, it's a big problematic issue. So that's one thing I voiced in my speech, which I hope to share to some MPs.
Wow.
And that'll be one of the things. And I guess the other opportunities that come with the speeches are, it's mainly sharing my speech, so past mm-hmm. the competition itself. So the competition doesn't stop me from speaking, I guess. Mm-hmm. I hope to continue sharing my speech to school, to different communities, and that'll be what I will
what
do
amazing.
After. But yeah.
And did you think to go to schools and propose that? Because I think the kids will be very... would be such a great opportunity for children.
Definitely,
especially for the school where our kids are.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's very multicultural and
they
have so many kids all over the world, right, Victoria? You have from Philippines. What other countries do you have in your class?
From South Africa. And we've also got people from India and from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And from America and from Australia.
From wow,
Asia.
That's a lot.
From Asia, wow.
Yeah, and from Asia too.
Yes.
From everywhere.
From everywhere. And
from Asia, Africa, North and South America. Europe, Antarctica, Australia.
Wow. You are even making them a song.
And New Zealand.
And New
Zealand,
right?
And of course New Zealand, yes.
And and I think for the kids also it's quite good to listen to your story, because even though, you know, everybody looks sometimes like we are from Romania, you know, in my country, the way, and I share the story also, I look quite different from Romanians, because Romanians are quite... You know, the hair, it's darker, and the skin mm-hmm. is also darker. But I was always, in my class, I was redhead and full of freckles, which was not common.
Mm-hmm.
But also for the kids now coming in New Zealand and being blonde and they think, everybody thinks that they are from New Zealand, but they are not.
Yeah, yeah. And it's something definitely to be proud of, mm-hmm. you know, to share your heritage, to share your whakapapa. It's something, it's a big part of who you are. So it's really should be valued here.
Yes. And how do you do, like, you are from Francis Douglas, mm-hmm, right?
Correct, yeah.
How is there? How did you experience your environment and people that you were in the class with?
I would say Francis Douglas, being an all-boys school, it is different to primary schools and stuff, but I think it's a great place. It's very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
We've got teachers and students from all different backgrounds. I guess,
how was the environment there for you? Like, was it good to have diverse? It was very diverse.
Yeah, yeah. So they are very accepting of.
Accepting, right.
And we do try our best to value and celebrate our differences. Mm-hmm. One thing I did talk about in my speech was, for racial harmony, we have to go beyond visual diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means going beyond people of color on prospectus mm-hmm. brochures or a multicultural event once a year, or even, you know, like posters on the walls that say, like, everybody belongs. Because
yeah.
voices, what I said in my speech was, if voices are not absorbed, if experiences are not truly valued, representation mm-hmm. without listening becomes nothing more than decoration. And so one thing I really emphasized in my speech was sharing your experiences, because that's the best way to communicate and connect with others. And I guess promote unity. It goes beyond what we see visually, but actually what's understood and mm-hmm. learned from one another. Yeah. So that's something we do in school. I guess sharing and having open minds when meeting new people and stuff. So
yeah
it's very important. Mm.
Do you have a question? Okay. Yeah. And I also was curious about your background, like, at home, being from two different countries like South Africa and Austria, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you include this in your family? Is it like a clash between the countries?
Yeah, well,
combined with New Zealand.
Yeah, it's honestly, for me, it's a bit difficult to find specific identity which you completely resonate with, because you look different to both sides because you're a mix of both. And mm-hmm. so at home, it's a challenge, definitely, when it comes to language, when it comes to certain practices. But growing up, I didn't learn German or my mother's language, Setswana. So
did you talk in English at home?
Yeah,
right?
All the time, yes. In English, because my parents didn't speak each other's language, so it was hard to teach us. I do try to learn German now, because mm-hmm. I do it on Duolingo, which is accessible, to try my best to learn my mm-hmm. language. But yeah, it is a struggle. And even going home sometimes, going to Austria, being someone who physically you don't 100% look
Austrian.
You don't
look Austrian, right?
Or even when you go to South Africa, your hair is not very as curly as everyone else's, or your skin's not as dark. So it is a challenge, but I think it's also a gift, because I really value the fact that I come from two complete different places.
Mm.
It offers new perspectives on life and practices and stuff. So as much as it is a challenge, I do appreciate it. And I think it's a really cool thing. I know other people who are biracial or multiracial, and they share same experiences. For some, they do, growing up, they did learn their parents' language. But I know it is a shared experience to not fit in completely to one and to both backgrounds, just because of your mix. So I appreciate it and I like it, but can be a challenge. So yeah.
And it feels like the world is becoming more and more like a one place. You know, it doesn't matter, like, people from different countries, they get together, you know, like, you know, Austria and South Africa, right?
Yeah,
who would have thought?
And
it's a mix.
Yeah.
And also being raised in another country. I had some friends who were like, from Poland and from South America. And they were coming to New Zealand,
yeah.
And their kids were talking three languages.
Wow, yeah.
Also for me, you know, I should have talked with the kids. I talk with the kids home in Romanian, and my husband tries in German.
Yeah.
But we don't know each other's language so well. So, I mean, I know, yeah. But it's always like a challenge to, you know, as a parent to do that.
Yeah, and I think even connecting with your growing up and being born in New Zealand, it's an experience that I think is different to Pākehā or Māori people, because you do carry so much of your practices and traditions. They come from your parents, even though it can be a challenge, but I guess I wouldn't say that I have a complete New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
Even though I was born here, I do have people say I always have quite a clear, neutral kind of voice. So
yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and some certain, I guess, cultural things in New Zealand, even though I did grow up in New Zealand, they would...
You were still
hard
not
to
fitting,
adapt
right?
to. It feels like you did sometimes are migrant sometimes. But yeah, I think it is really cool.
It is.
Coming from two different backgrounds and also, but growing up in a whole complete different one that you're not genetically related to. It's a very different experience, but also really cool, yeah.
I am curious, because you come from a multicultural background, mm-hmm. At home, do you have like any traditions that are not the most common in New Zealand?
Yeah.
And are you happy to share that with us?
Yeah.
In terms of food or celebrations as well, you know, like festivities that perhaps you celebrate but other people here in New Zealand, they don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't say completely. My parents did, I wouldn't say they've lost their culture, but they don't practice it as much as they would if they would be home. And I guess that's just because of the differences themselves. One thing that they do keep is food. So whenever my parents cook, you can tell that it comes from their background. So my dad, he makes a great schnitzel.
Wow.
And my mom, she always makes lovely South African food. So food is one thing that we do keep and practice from our cultural background. In terms of like holidays, we've adopted the New Zealand ones. So we do always celebrate Christmas, Easter, but nothing too specific, to be honest. Home practices, we do always it kind of adopts from my parents' backgrounds and just their way of living. So whether it be the way they do laundry or taking your shoes off at home, it's certain things like that. But it's nothing too specific to their background. So I guess my parents as well, being migrants and being in the country for almost 30 years now, they've kind of really adopted that New Zealand way of living.
Yeah.
And in a sense, they've kind of lost theirs, but they still keep it. And you can tell when they go home, it's the same as if you haven't left the country for 30 years.
Is
so
it?
Yeah, it is. It's a funny thing.
It's
weird, but cool, yeah.
And did you, when you've been to South Africa, I always hear from your mom that whenever she goes home, it's so nice that, you know, when you arrive there, people, it's all about food.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they cook like her mother. She said that she's cooking for the entire something like that.
Yeah,
is it like that?
In solidarity there, I'd say. Like, it's different to New Zealand. Like, people are very connected in South Africa. I notice in New Zealand, like, we are a very friendly nation. And when it comes to first appearances and, you know, having a bright smile with others and very welcoming, of course. But I guess the difference is one example would be like in South Africa, the community is so connected.
It's
like
amazing.
You could go ask your neighbor, you could go ask your neighbor for some rice if you didn't have rice for dinner.
Yeah.
And they give it to you. And in New Zealand, it would be a completely different thing. Like if you went up to your neighbor and asked them, oh, do you have any rice I could borrow?
would be.
It's just different, yeah.
We will be very interesting.
Of course.
In Spain, we are like that too. Like, it's very common. Like, most people live in apartments, but it's very common that, like, in the apartment, sometimes you have, like, more than one apartment in the same level.
Yeah.
So those are like your closest neighbors.
Exactly.
So yeah, like if you run out of salt or eggs or rice, or as you were saying, Lucas, you will just like knock and say, oh, I ran out of this. And it's totally fine and no one will think
it's
awkward. It's just very normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's part of, I think, we expect that the neighbors come to us because if they, you know, if they don't have enough rice, if they don't go out and buy some, it will be quite disrespectful because they didn't ask us, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They could just come and ask for
a
piece of bread or something like that, or two eggs.
Yeah, so it's a certain ways of living, I think, that are different. But in South Africa, I love it there. From what you see from New Zealand, it might not be, it's not the whole picture of what you see when you're actually there on the ground. So, it's very.
And how is like, because Austria and South Africa, very different culture. Like Austrian is more, more different. Would you like to say a little bit like when you go there, how is it?
In Austria, it's very, what we were talking about before, in Austria, I wouldn't say it's the same.
It's
kind of like New Zealand.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. But the people in Austria, they're all very accepting, very kind and very beautiful. But yeah, there is definitely differences. You notice the neighbors.
It is like very similar with Germany, I imagine, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Same, because same for me, you know.
Maybe more individualized. Not in a positive or negative way.
Yeah.
Like more like less community focused, perhaps.
Yeah, people become more independent in their own household, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you are learned to be more independent in Germany. Like, for example, from my mother-in-law, what I learned is like, if you are more independent, then it's good.
Yeah.
Rather than to depend on others.
Yeah, you're right. It's just their way of living, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is also good to be independent. It's not like
of course.
Bad. It's not like one is bad, one is good. But both
just
has
different.
Different.
Yes. Mm.
Mm.
And it's. I mean, I really like the way you are saying that we have to see it as a gift.
Yeah.
And it is a gift.
Mm.
And what it is a gift, it can be also a burden, right?
Yeah, you're
because
right.
Because you carry it and you have so many hats. And I see for myself, you know, coming from Romania, living in New Zealand, having a German husband, sometimes it's tiring to be different personalities in
it
a
is,
way.
It is, it can be hard,
yeah.
And trying to find yourself, like
who you
really
are
and what you want to practice and bring
beyond
your, way
your
of
culture
life.
Right? Beyond your physical appearance, beyond your culture, who you really are, as you said.
Yeah, and I guess that's something I'm trying to find when people ask me where are you from, or it's a question that like you don't know exactly what to answer or how you should say. So it's like should I answer where I'm born, where my parents are from, like what's my nationality, I don't know. So it's interesting, and I guess when you grow up, I think I'll find that, but at the moment it's
like you have a path, you know. It feels like for you the path is leading you to more connecting with yourself by accepting all these cultures inside you. And it takes so much time
to
understand. I mean, you're just 17, and I mean, it's amazing how much you achieved. I remember when I was 17, I didn't even have this kind of ideas. I was very comfortable in my own country, you know, in my own city with my friends and playing volleyball outside. But look at you, you know, you achieved so much.
Thank
you. So I imagine your parents are quite proud of you, and you yourself are proud of who you are.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And it's not an easy question sometimes to answer, where are you from? Because, originally you might be from somewhere else, like Alina and I myself, for example, but we have been living here for long. So I guess, and if your family is from two different places, very different between them, you might feel like you have three homes, like New Zealand, where you grew up and where you were born. But you're also like your ancestors are from two different countries, and so perhaps you feel that home.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great program for teenagers to, you know, like it's called Where Are You From? Because I think this will open up, like, doesn't matter culture. Yes, you're from different countries, but who are you really from?
Who you
really are?
Did you ever
think to do something like that for, like an idea or something for teenagers or younger?
Yeah, one of the other finalists in Race Unity, Malak, she started a podcast in Dunedin, and what they do there is they interview people, and I think it is very youth based, and they basically ask them those kind of questions, and kind of what we're doing here almost.
Amazing.
So it is very similar, asking young people about the questions of identity and background. So yeah, it is a cool thing. I think also, but it doesn't even have to be in a podcast. It can also be little sit-down groups of just connecting with others, like the Beyond Small Talk that I'm going to say my speech at. That's another thing that it's in the name. It goes Beyond Small Talk, and they just share their experiences, share who they are. So I guess it's, and the connection between all of them is just, it all comes vocally, so sharing by talking and connecting with others rather than seeing what you see at first glance or
I am curious because we have here two other little persons. Victoria, for example, if someone asks you, or when someone asks you, where are you from, what will you reply?
Well, I usually say I'm half Romanian and half German. Because, like, that was where I was born, but I lived here the most. But I never actually really thought about saying I was from New Zealand.
Okay. Where were you born? Here or in Romania?
No, I was born in Romania.
And you were coming here when you were three?
Yeah.
You were three when you arrived here. Okay.
Three and a half.
And it's quite hard, you know, this kind of age to... I see for the kids, if it's okay for me to share, sometimes when I go to school and I, you know, I want to talk with them in Romanian, because it's the identity, you know, that the kids don't want to be different than others. So if I talk with them in Romania or she talks with me in Romanian, maybe they feel that maybe, you know, they will not fit in because they are different.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Is that correct? Sometimes it's difficult to fit in.
And what about you, Pedro?
He's sleeping.
Ah, okay. Pedro is sleeping. Okay, so we might have to ask him another time.
Another time, yes.
Another time we will ask Pedro where
Lucas has such a good voice, and he just,
I usually say that I'm half, I was born in Romania, and I'm half German and half Romanian, but I have a German passport.
Ah, nice.
Oh, so you have a multi-passport. That's really
passport,
cool,
yeah,
no?
And I think because we have a German passport for the kids, so, for example, Petru will always say he's German. He will never say that he's Romanian.
Okay.
But I think Victoria, she says she's both, or maybe sometimes more Romanian.
Yeah, it's important to share both so that people get a whole understanding of who you are.
Yeah.
Like, when people always ask me, I always, growing up, I've always answered... not exactly where I'm from, but I always say, oh, my mum's, she's from Austria, and my dad's from, mum's from South Africa, sorry, my dad is from Austria, without actually answering where am I from. So I've got a New Zealand passport, I was born in New Zealand, I don't have any other passport, so I guess I always answer basically of what people want to hear, rather than what I really am, like... People ask, I always assume, really, that people ask me that question because of what they see physically of who I am, rather than thinking about where I might be born or where my nationality is. So I guess that's something I'm trying to overcome. It's like, when people ask me that question, I get it asked all the time. I'm a checkout operator, at a supermarket, and so it's lots of time customers ask me, wow. Where are you from? So I always answer with where I'm genetically, where my parents are from, rather than where I'm actually from myself. So I guess it's something I am trying to find out the right answer to. There is no wrong answer, but it's just making sure that you want to make sure people hear exactly who you are rather than what they see or what they want to hear. Yeah.
Because it's an appearance, right? So this is what you see in the first impression. It's so important for all of us,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Even though we don't want, you know, to make other people feel uncomfortable.
Exactly, yeah. You know, because if I said I'm from New Zealand, I was born in New Zealand, people will always want to know more.
Yes,
and they'll always want to know, oh, where are your parents from then, or really, where are you from?
Yes, originally,
so,
where?
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, it's a funny thing.
It's a funny thing, yeah. And I think it's a great topic that you can bring in, you know, that for other people to understand.
Yeah, it's definitely an opening.
Instantly. An opening, and
you
know, think about what you can do in the future for others, right? Mm. Like this gift that you have.
Mm. Because it's something that's growing, as you were saying before, everyone's becoming more multiracial, of different backgrounds, different birthplaces, different parents of different places. So, I think it's something that really needs attention to.
Yeah.
Really focusing what's the answer that you want to answer to that question.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So, we will have another more question. What would you recommend to people, like, and I mean in your situation it's quite challenging, right?
Mm.
If you find somebody like you, right?
Yep.
Like somebody who is born in a country but the parents are from other countries, what would you recommend, for example, to my kids when they grow up? How should they find their own culture?
I would
their
say
own whakapapa, right?
I would say be proud of actually being born in New Zealand, because a lot of the time you always base it off where your parents are from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you shouldn't forget also. So I guess you should share that you were born in New Zealand. You grew up in New Zealand in that
mm-hmm.
culture, which is important. And that's something to be proud of, as I said. But
it's
also,
a hard one.
It is difficult, but also sharing where your parents are from is also very opening to something else, because it's I guess it's the base of your culture, your practices, sometimes your languages,
mm-hmm.
And so it does open up a conversation. So I guess listen, don't always answer what people want you to hear, but actually who you are in yourself. So
I believe that the children in our days, and you know, like teenagers like you, they are more in tune to who they really are.
Yeah,
it feels like that, right?
Yeah.
Like we, in my age of 17, I didn't know so many things about me, and I didn't have so many questions about my own identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. At least Lucas seems like that. So I don't know if
all
the other teenagers will be like that.
It's changing.
It's changing, right?
Yeah, of course.
Mm. And you will have a great voice, and you will inspire lots of people.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing about your story. Thank you, Victoria, as well. Thank you, Petrito, even if you had a little nap.
Thank you so much, everyone. And looking forward to know more about your projects in the future, Lucas, and hopefully, who knows, maybe we can do a project together.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much for having me. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. So thank you, everyone, and see you next Monday, 11 a.m. here at Making Yourself at Home at Access Radio Taranaki. And Victoria wants to say something.
Bye, everyone. I'll see you maybe next time.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.